Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Y'all ready for the word today? Praise God. Well, we've been in a series called Summer Mixtape, and we're giving a tribute for all the old school heads in here that remember the mixtape, all right? Some of y'all don't know because y'all got Spotify. And you got iTunes, you know, and you can Google songs, you know. Who sings this song? It'll come right up. Y'all don't even know the struggle. We had to wait. If you didn't have the money to buy the record, you had to wait for FM 102, the hot 8 at 8, you know. And you had to get on there with your recorder, and you had to record your song so that you could have it and put it on a mixtape and all that. Now you got Spotify. We've got iTunes. And I tell you what, those are incredible things, but we're paying homage to the mixtape. And if anybody ever made a mixtape, you know there were different types of mixtapes. You had a road trip mixtape. Come on, somebody. That music that would just not let you fall asleep, you know. All kinds of songs you can put on when you're going on a road trip. And then you had the romantic mixtape. Uh-oh, come on. Some of you know about that. You have children because of those mixtapes. And then you also had the summer mixtape, the mixtape that you would use to go out in the summer, go to the beach, go to the river, hang out with your friends. So we're paying homage to that. And just to give you a quick review, we've been using songs from the different eras, the different decades to illustrate messages, okay? In no way is this an endorsement of certain artists, but I'm simply using things in culture to tie the gospel to. The Apostle Paul did this many times when he was communicating to the Romans. A matter of fact, the books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are in mind for the Greeks, the Jews, the Romans. They deal with culture and present the gospel in a way that that culture can understand. So all I'm doing is tying in the Word of God with these different songs. And we started way back in the 70s on the first week. We talked about a song from Frankie, Beverly, and Maze. How many remember that group? Nope, a couple guys, a couple old school guys. All right. A couple people born in the 70s, come on. 60s, 50s, no, I'll stop right there. But you may remember that that song and the message that we were talking about was I Need You, reclaiming that phrase for our generation. Because this generation is known as the fatherless generation, the rejected generation. And part of what gets you through life when you are rejected, part of what gets you through life when you've been hurt, is to pull up your pants and by the bootstraps and say, I'm gonna do this and I don't need anybody. And that mentality can get you through a divorce. It can get you through a failure in life. It can get you through rejection, but it cannot get you the kingdom. It cannot get you further in the blessing of God because God has created us to need one another. Can I get an amen on that? So we talked about how important it is that you realize and that you're able to express that I need you. Amen? And then we talked about the second week. We came and we kicked it in. We went from the 70s. We went to the 90s with a group called Jodeci. And there was a song that Jodeci put out that was called Come and Talk to Me. And many of you remember that song. And I got a message from somebody that said, Pastor, since you mentioned that song, I've been listening to that. It's been taking me back. But that song, we said, come and talk to me. And the message that we were talking about was overcoming the fear of rejection. And I realized that some of you got a date out of that message. Come on, somebody. And maybe some of you might have got rejected from that message. I don't know. But the bottom line is we are facing the fear of rejection. Because it's not just about getting a date. It's about relationships. And many of us don't have the right relationships because we're afraid to get rejected. We're afraid to come and talk to somebody. There's some of you that have been coming to this church and you say, oh, well, nobody ever invites me out to lunch. Well, nobody ever comes and talks to me. My question back to you is this. Well, who have you invited to lunch? Well, who have you talked to? We see, we always want to put it on other people. And the reason we do that is because we fear rejection. And so we want people to come to us. But we've got to do what Jodeci said. Come on. And you've got to be the one to come and talk to somebody. Can I get an amen on that? So you can go back on Spotify. You can go on the podcast. You can hear that. Last week, we talked about another important thing, and that is God's plan. And we kicked it all the way up into the 2010s. When this song came out, it was 2018, and it was from one of the top-selling artists right now. And I think for a moment, he was the top-selling artist on Spotify all time, and that is the rapper Drake. And a few years ago in 2018, he put out a song called God's Plan. And the song really wasn't about God's plan. It was about people that didn't like him and stuff like that. But the video was about him going out and being generous and paying for somebody's college and buying somebody groceries and giving somebody a car, all these cool things. But we talked about what does God's plan mean for us. And last week we talked about that God's word is a lamp unto my feet first. And then it's a light unto my path, which talks about how God leads you. He doesn't lead you the way you want him to. Come on. He leads you the way he wants to, and he leads us step by step. He only shows you the next step. If you obey that step, he gives you another step. But we've got people that are stuck in their life because they don't want to do anything and that would require faith. So they stay stuck because they want to see how it's going to work out. And God's not going to show you how it's going to work out. He wants to do this thing with you. He wants you to depend on him. So he gives you step one, go to Elevate Life Church. Okay, I'm here. Step two, become a member. Ooh, I don't know about that. That's commitment. That's all that. That's step two, like it or not. Okay, God, I'll do it. And then you become a member. Step three is, okay, become a part of the giving family. Ooh, I don't know about that. See, we don't want to walk step by step. We want God to just fix our life. God, show me how you're going to fix my marriage. Show me how you're going to make my business take off. And God is saying, I will lead you step by step. Can I get an amen on that? That's the plan of God. Go back on the podcast. You can hear that message. Today, we are staying in the 2000s, but now we're going back to the actual 2000s, the year 2007. How many know that's out? I mean, that's almost 15 years ago now. And this artist is one of the top selling artists of the last 20 years. And he goes by the name of Kanye West. Tell your neighbor, pray for Kanye. Amen. Pray for Kanye. I was telling Adele, that's a good t-shirt right there. Pray for Kanye. I think you will sell a lot of shirts. Pray for Kanye right there. Because, you know, it's an amazing thing that one of the greatest artists of the last 20 years professed to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And at the height of his popularity, put out a gospel album, Jesus is King. And I mean, it did so much in sales and so much in so many incredible things. And people say, well, was it real? Is it not? How come he got a divorce? What about this? He got into a battle rap with somebody and said some bad things. Here, all I'm going to say is this. Pray for Kanye. Because come on, you ain't perfect either. See, the only difference is this. We get to see all his mess. We don't get to see ours. So when we were struggling, it's in the dark. When he struggles, it's on TMZ. Amen. So again, pray for Kanye. Tell your neighbor, pray for Kanye. I'm telling you, Dale, that's a t-shirt right there. Just tithe off it, brother. Just tithe off it. Okay. And so Kanye in 2007 put out a song that became an anthem, and it was called The Good Life. And he even had T-Pain on. How many remember T-Pain? Come on, if you was alive in the 2000s, T-Pain was on everybody's song, amen? Everybody had T-Pain. He put that little machine thing on his voice, and he'd sing on every song. And the song was basically about having a good life, you know? It was just basically declaring that, you know, life can be good. Now, there are some things in the song that I do not endorse. Obviously, I'm only referencing the song to tie the gospel to culture and confront that those things. But some of you remember the lyrics. I go from mine. I got to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky. But let me just say this, you can't have a good life without Jesus Christ. When will we learn this? When will we pay attention to the news? When will we pay attention to our favorite celebrities and stars who have all the money in the world, all the fame, yet they're still killing themselves, committing suicide with drugs? When will we learn that fame, fortune, good looks does not equal a good life? I shared with you a few years ago, the NBA started adopting the belief that every team needed to have a team psychologist, because they noticed that in the NBA there was an epidemic of depression. Depression for players who are making $20 million or more a year. Depression for these men that are in the best physical shape that they can be in, and they're depressed. They're rich and depressed, good looking and depressed. They can go anywhere in the world they want. They can buy anything in the world they want. They can get any woman in the world they want, except for my wife, because she don't play that. And she's got something better. Hey. But they can do all these things. Listen, they can do all these things, and they're depressed. And they need psychologists to help them. What do we take away from that? You can't have a good life without Jesus Christ. When will we learn this? And when will we finally adopt the fact that a life without Christ is not a life at all? Yet some of us are still trying to live that life. Still trying to live the good life. And there is no good life outside of Jesus Christ. And I want to prove that to you today. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 is God coming to Abraham with an invitation. He comes to Abram, before he becomes Abraham. And look what he says. He says, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you. Interesting. It's kind of like what we talked about last year. He doesn't tell Abraham, hey, Abraham, go about 100 miles to your right, and then over by the left, and then by the river, that's where you'll see your land. He tells Abraham this, leave everything. And Abraham says, well, where am I going? God says, I'll tell you when you get there. Why? Because God requires trust. He ain't going to show you everything. He wants you to trust him. And he tells Abraham, I'm going to take you to a land that I will show you. And he makes these promises to Abraham. Promises that are accessible to you and I because of what Galatians chapter 3 tells us. That the blessing of Abraham comes on you and I because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 3 verse 8. God is speaking here and he's coming to deliver the Israelites, who are simply a type and shadow of you and I. And look what it says. He says, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up to a land, listen to this, to a good and large land. And then he says this term, it's very interesting. A land flowing with milk and honey. To the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But look what he's saying. He's declaring here, I didn't just come to take you out of Egypt. I've come to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. What he's saying to us today is, I didn't just come to get you off of drugs. I didn't just come to get you out of pornography. I didn't just come to set you free from the love of money. I didn't just come to take you out of bitterness. I've come to bring you into a land of milk and honey. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. He says it again in Leviticus 20:24. But I have said to you, you shall inherit the land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the other people. Numbers 14:8. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into a land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey, milk and honey, milk and honey. What I want to confront in our minds today is that God is not just interested in meeting your needs. God's interested in making your life better. It sounds good just to say, well, God is just going to meet my needs. And I've even heard people say things like this. Well, God promises to give to meet your needs, not your wants. You ever heard anybody say that? It sounds real good. It sounds real holy. But can I tell you something? It's unbiblical. The God we serve is not just about meeting your needs. He's about giving his children pleasures. Why is this so hard for us to understand? Come on, moms and dads. There's not a mom and dad in here that only gives their kids what they need. Your kid don't need them Jordans. He don't need them. But mama, you buy them for him. Daddy, you buy them for him. I saw a baby in Jordans the other day. Baby can't even walk. He don't need all that support. He don't need all that. He can grow out of them in a week. Why do we do that? Why do we give our kids more than they need? One reason. We love them. We love them. Right? Some of you dress your kids in some of the flyest, freshest gear. Come on. Kids walking around, their kids' outfit more than yours. Why do we do that? Because we love our children. Yet when it comes to God, we have a hard time believing that he is better than us when it comes to treating his children. And we say things like, well, he meets my needs, not my wants. God, and we pray prayers and we act all humble. God, you know, I'm not asking for a lot. And God says, why not? Ask me. Ask me. Let me show you how much I love you. See, people want to always come against the prosperity message. And it's a plan of the enemy to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is excesses in the prosperity message. There is error in that message. But the essence is this. God wants to prosper you. Amen. And the Bible says so. There's not a man in the Bible that didn't interact with God whose life didn't grow and didn't increase in greater quality and kind by his association with God. That's what God does. It's who he is. As a matter of fact, when God is talking to Israel, he doesn't tell them, I'm going to give you a land that flows with just the necessities. Just the necessities. No, he says, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, what does that mean to us? Because we don't really get that in 2022. What the heck, milk? What you talking about? I'm lactose intolerant. I don't want no milk. Give me the runs. Is that what you're trying to do, God? No, milk in the Bible, listen, milk represents fertility, reproduction, and abundance. That's what milk represents. That is your covenant promise. That's your covenant promise. That your land, your life will flow with fertility, reproduction, and abundance. Not just enough. Abundance. That's what milk represents. Then he breaks it off into something even better than milk, which is honey. Now, this is mind-blowing because there's not a person here that needs honey to exist. Come on, you need plants, you need vegetables, you need fruit, you need some protein, you need some meat. Sorry, vegans, you need some meat. You need to get some asada in you, get some boil in there. You need to get strong muscles, okay? You need meat, you need vegetation. We don't need honey. But yet God promises that a life with him will flow with honey. Honey represents, catch this, pleasure and sweetness. Pleasure and sweetness. That's what that represents. So God is saying the land that I have for you flows with abundance, reproduction, and fertility. And it flows with pleasure and sweetness. Amen. Why am I spending so much time on this morning? It's because somewhere along the way, we associate the devil with pleasure when God is the originator of pleasure. Amen. He invented it. And Satan has deceived us into thinking that pleasure is associated with sin and sinful living. And so when we think pleasure, we think, oh, that's bad. It's not bad. Amen. Not according to God's word. It has its place. And guess what? Quit giving Satan credit for pleasure. God created it. Can I blow your minds a little more? Think about sex. Not too long. Come on back. Some of you went. I saw the smile just come on your face, all creepy. No, but seriously, God created sex. Can I go a little further? Can you handle it? Can I be real with you today? God created your genitalia. I was joking this morning because that sounds like somebody's name, huh? Genitalia, come over here. Meet my daughter, Genitalia. God created it. God created the sensations of an orgasm. Some of y'all just looking straight ahead like, oh my gosh. Satan didn't. Satan didn't create that feeling. Satan didn't create that experience. God did. Come on, DJ Khaled. God created that. Now, why am I spending so much time on this, folks? Because we need a mind shift. The good life can only be obtained through a good God who creates good things for his good children. And we still got people trying to tip and tap back to the world, still living the world, as if the world has something to offer you. Teenagers, you need to know something. Can I speak to teenagers real quick? Teenagers, I'm not putting you down. This is just science. Can I drop some science on you? Can I drop some science on them? The human brain does not finish developing until about 24. Because your human brain is not fully developed, you better listen to somebody who has a fully developed brain. And God has put somebody in your life with a brain that actually works fully. And they're called mom and dad. Some of you would say, oh, Pastor, you didn't know my mom and dad. You did not know. And so when mom and dad are coming and they're trying to keep you from a life in the world, guess what they're trying to do? They're trying to let you know that the good life that Kanye and T-Pain sung about is not found any place away from God. It's only found in the God that created pleasure. Going back to the Garden of Eden, look at Genesis chapter 1. God creates a garden, puts man and Adam and Eve in it. And what does he call the garden? Eden. One of the names in the Hebrew that Eden means is place of pleasure. Place of pleasure. Guys, this is the God we serve. This is the God that religion is trying to rob us from. This is why we need to listen to him, because he wants to give you a better life than you could ever dream of. And he keeps making these promises. And then you get down to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And if you don't know this chapter, you need to learn it. It is a promise to the children of Israel. God stands before him and he says, hey, if you follow me, if you diligently hearken to my word, these things will follow your life. And it talks about you being the head and not the tail, which means you're the brains and not the butt. He goes on to say, you're blessed when you come and you're blessed when you go. You're blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Everything you put your hands to do is blessed. Blessed is the fruit of your, not of your loom, of your womb. Y'all didn't catch that. Fruit of the loom, your choinus, right? Fruit of your womb, which means this, your kids are blessed. But there's one condition. You got to diligently hark to do the will of God. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28. See, some of you are struggling with things that if you could access the promises of Deuteronomy 28, you could get victory over those things. And again, in context, it was spoken to Israel, but Galatians chapter 3 says we get the promises of Abraham because of our association with Jesus Christ, that the blessing of Abraham can come upon us. It's yours, but you've got to decide to follow Jesus. Satan's done lied to you. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, God's addressing Israel again. It's a theme, guys, all throughout the Old Testament. Israel gets away from God. God pulls them back, and look at what he says. Come now and let us reason together. Now, even God is trying to say to them, hey, use your brain. Think about this. He says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Translation, though you did a lot of dirt, God can forgive you. Come on. Though you did a lot of drugs, God can forgive you. Come on. Though you got a high body count, hey, God can forgive you. Are you tracking with me? He's saying, think about it. You were dirt, now you're clean. Then he says this, though you are like red like crimson, you shall be as wool. If, everybody say if. If you're willing and obedient. Though you were bitter, you can be whole. Though you were mad, you could have joy. Though you were sad, you can have happiness. If you're willing and obedient. And then he says this, you shall eat the good of the land. This is the God we serve. The God that has a good life for you. Are we in agreement that God's a good God? Are we in agreement that God has a good life for you? Okay, now here's what I want to help you with before I let you go today. Some of us believe the good life is simply a fantasy life. And the life that you think you're pressing for, it's simply a fantasy. And I need to help you today. I need to blow up the fantasy that you've created. Because God is not into fantasies. He's into realities. Heavenly realities. Divine realities. And some of us would look at our life in Jesus Christ. Catch me now. And you would still think there's a better life out there away from Christ. You're deceived. And the reason you're deceived is because you're chasing a fantasy. And I gotta blow that fantasy up, because that fantasy is going to get you in a lot of trouble. That fantasy is going to get you chasing things that don't exist. Come on, some of you used to have a fantasy girlfriend. She had the body of a model, face of a goddess. And all she said is, yes, dear, no, dear. She cooked, she cleaned, come on. Did everything you asked, let you go out with your friends whenever you wanted, never asked you to buy her anything. That's a fantasy. But you believe she's out there. And when you meet real women, you're let down. This isn't the one. This isn't the one. Come on, fellas, you know you do this. And ladies, you know you do this. You got your Ken doll out there somewhere. Millionaire, nice car, his feet don't stink. Got good teeth, good hair, just does whatever you ask him to do, has no opinion about anything. But when you meet real men, you're always let down. Because you're living in a fantasy. Ooh, that's another song right there we could go into. No. Living in a fantasy. Some of y'all looking for the perfect job. Oh, the perfect job. Oh, I just want a job where I can work around all Christians. You don't want that job, trust me. You don't want that job. Oh, you got a fantasy about what it's going to be like to own your own business. Oh, it's going to be so great. I won't have to take orders from anybody. See, it's a fantasy. You want to own your own business, huh? You want to own your own business? It's more work than working for somebody. But you're living in a fantasy. So can your pastor help you today? Because some of you have a good life, but you're chasing fantasies. Let's blow that up today. Because God promises to give you a good life. It's a promise. So let me help you today. I want to give you seven things that consist in a good life. I want you to take notes today. This is going to help you. What does the good life consist of? All right. What does the good life consist of? This is going to help somebody big time today. I promise. Or your money back. Some of y'all didn't give nothing anyway. So here we go. What does the good life consist of? Number one, y'all ready for this one? Number one, first thing your good life consists of is work. W-O-R-K. Work. If you're going to have a good life, you better understand there's work in a good life. How do we know this? Because God promises milk and honey to the Israelites. But guess what? To get the milk, you got to milk those cows. Anybody ever lived on a farm? They don't milk them cows in the afternoon. They milk them first thing in the morning. They get out at the crack of dawn and put their hands on them udders. Come on, somebody. Sit in a little stool and squeeze that milk out until your hands can't even do this anymore. Walk around with a claw. You want the milk? You want the blessing of abundance, reproduction, all these things? There's work involved. There's work involved. You got to milk the cows. And guess what? You got to get the honey too. The honey always is accompanied by bees. And bees will sting your behind. They'll sting you. See, we want the milk and we want the honey. And I know we live in 2022 where we can all just go over here to Bel Air or Raley's and you could get your milk and honey. But see, the reference of what we're talking about here when God was promising this is that there'll be milk and honey there, but you're going to have to work for it. You got to understand this, folks. The good life has work involved. You can have a good marriage, but it's going to take work. You can have good kids, but it's going to take work. You can own your own business, but it's going to take work. See, we tend to leave this out when we fantasize about the good life. The first thing the good life consists of is work. Even in the Garden of Eden, Adam didn't just sit around there walking around naked eating grapes. Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Do you know Adam had a job? God gave him a job. He said, you gonna be here? You gotta work. All right, what you want me to do? I want you to name all these animals. Have you ever thought about how many animals there are in the world? That's a tough job. Adam had a job. Adam tended that garden, it says. He took care of stuff. He took care. He worked. Even in paradise, he worked. Why? Because work is associated with a good life. Some of you have retired early. You found that out. What a blessing it is to work. Some of you that have been on disability, man, you miss work. Because work is a blessing. But there's some of us that think the good life is void of work. It's not. I'll put it to you like this. The life you have could be the good life if you'll do the work. You want a new husband. You're like, God, he's so stupid, God. God, why did I marry this idiot? He is so dumb. God, why was I blinded by the spirit of darkness and the devil done got me married the wrong dude? No. He's not the wrong dude. You just got to do the work. God, I need me another wife. I didn't know she was this crazy. I knew she was crazy, but I didn't know she was this crazy. I want the good life, God, and I can't get it with her. No. Slow your roll. You could have it. You just got to do the work with her. Single people, you better understand. You want that good life. Oh, I just want to find my husband. I just want to find my wife. When you find them, understand this. There's work involved. Some of you young marrieds got married and found this out, and now you want to quit. Because I thought this was going to be a good marriage. It is a good marriage if you'll do the work. There's work involved. Some of you started a business, jumped out there, but it got hard. And you thought, oh, I missed God. No, you didn't miss God. You're right in the good life. You just got to do the work. And this is where people miss out on the good life. You want to know why? They don't want to do the work. Everybody wants a spouse that's just done, complete, finished. Come into my life. Oh. Nah, you're going to have to do some work. See, you can't run back to your old life when the work shows up. It's always interesting. I like to watch young marrieds, right? Been in this thing 30 years. My wife and I this year will celebrate 23 years. And it's always interesting watching new couples get together because they have a honeymoon phase and then the cold water is splashed on their face and they wake up and go, what have I done? Did I miss God? I didn't know it was going to be like this. Hold on. Listen, slow down. Let me talk you off the ledge before you do something really dumb. She's the right one. You just got to do the work. Are you tracking with me? No. He's the right one. He's a good dude. That's why you married him. You just got to do the work. What is the work? Learn how to live together. Learn how to compromise. All these things. Are you tracking with me today? How about people that want to have babies? Praying to have babies. Coming to the altar, oh God, we just want a baby. Bless us with a child, Lord. Crying every night, sowing offerings. God, I give this $1,000, Lord, that we may get pregnant. I sow a seed to meet the need. And we're just, oh, I want to have a baby. And then the baby comes. Like the Escobars about to find out, Eddie and Tony. And the first time the baby gets colic. And they want to take the baby back. Something's wrong with my baby. No, there's nothing wrong with it. This is what they do. I haven't slept in 3 days. What'd you think was going to happen? You know, and they always come around like they want sympathy. Oh, man, we haven't missed it. Hey, I got no sympathy for you. It's what you asked for. Been there, done that, bought the T-shirt and cried. Amen. It's your turn. But what do we do? What is that? Did we make a mistake in praying for kids? No. It's just work. And then they go through a little cute phase. You know that phase when they're about one and a half. And they're so fun. They laugh. They get sleep longer. You know, it's so cute. And then they hit two and they're walking around. They become little gremlins. and you're chasing him around, and you're just like, oh my gosh, my baby, something's wrong with her. She's got ADHD and R2-D2 and C-3PO and all the numbers. She's got it. No, no, she's just work. And then you fix that up, and then they hit about 14. Y'all ain't really parents till you parent a teenager. I got some people going, yeah, and some of you others like, oh, I don't like that. That's not right. I don't like that. That's not fair. That's not fair. You'll see. 14, they know everything, and you know nothing. It's hard. But can I tell you what it is? It's a good life. I wouldn't trade anything for my three teenagers. Well, one's almost a man right now, so pardon, salute. 20 years old, 21 is, you know. I wouldn't change any of it, y'all. I wouldn't change any of it. But I got to do the work. Are you with me today? The good life takes work. Can I take you to number two characteristic of the promised land? Y'all ready for this? Second thing the good life consists of, pain. Pastor, why are you bringing us all down on your birthday talking about work and pain? Listen, I'm trying to bring you up. I'm trying to crush your fantasies and bring you into reality to know that the life you have is good if you'll do the work and you'll put up with the pain. Your life flows with milk and honey, but you got to milk those cows. But you know something else you got to do for those cows? You could Google it, but the average cow produces up to 65 pounds of crap every day. 65 pounds. That's a small human every day. That's a small little child, poop child, running around every day. 65 pounds. That's one cow. Nobody ever just has one cow either, right? Every day, 65 pounds of crap is in your good life. Tell your neighbor, toughen up. You're going to have a good life, but there's pain involved. There's pain involved. Hey, and let's not even talk about the honey, because you don't get honey without somebody getting stung. Bees accompany honey. Pain is involved in your promise. When the pain comes, don't quit. Because this is when people leave the good life and say, oh, this isn't a good life. No, it is a good life. You just got to put up with the pain and do the work. You start the business, have a good first quarter, everything's good, and then the pain comes. You get the bill for the overhead. And then you want to quit. And you want to go, oh, I don't know. Boy, it was a lot easier when I was just working for somebody. Yeah, it was easier. But listen, this is the good life. And it is for you business owners. You got to endure the pain. You got to go through it a little bit. And if you can endure the pain, you can have the good life. Remember, the marriage you got is good. It's the good life. You got the right one. This is a word for somebody. Hey, you picked the right one. You just got to do the work. And the second part is this. You got to endure the pain. What is pain? Pain is the feeling of being uncomfortable. So you got to do the work, which means you may have to say, Pastor, can we meet with you about our marriage? Very uncomfortable. That's the pain. You may have to call up a counselor and make an appointment and sit on the couch across from them and tell them all your issues. Uncomfortable. That's the pain. And then at the end, they may say, my fee is $100 an hour. That's really the pain. Because I'm paying you to make me uncomfortable. But that's the good life. And some of you are trying to have the good life without doing the work and enduring the pain. How's that going for you? This is why you're looking back at your old life. And you know what? You're doing exactly what the Israelites did. They looked back at Egypt and they said, why are we out here? We could be back there. Being slaves. People, you can't escape work and pain. You have to toughen up. And we have the promises of God that say this, I'm with you. I'll get you through this. Can I get an amen on that? Let's go to the third thing that we find in the promise, in the good life. Are y'all ready for this? The third thing, I'm going to try to cheer you up, but not quite yet. The third thing you got in the good life are battles. Battles. God told the Israelites, hey, I got a promised land for you, but there's Hivites there, there's Jebusites, there's Hittites. All you got to do is push those things out. And there's battles in your life, your good life. Battles like temptation, right? You'll never escape temptation as long as you're a human being on this planet. You're always going to be tempted with evil. You're always going to be tempted to do the wrong thing. You got to fight that. Hey, guess what? Guess what else you got to fight in your good life? Your past. You got to confront your trauma. Quit ignoring it. Quit saying it ain't there. You got to attack your rejection issues. You got to attack your childhood and how your parents raised you. You got to address those things. You got to fight those battles. And when you fight those battles, listen, you'll have a good life. But the problem that we have, nobody wants to fight battles. Nobody wants to endure pain, and nobody wants to work. And Satan has deceived you into thinking that without all those things, I can have a good life. You can't. You can't. Work, pain, battles. Y'all ready for this? Number four, discipline. In the good life, it takes discipline. Now, can I just tell you something? This generation's trying to make discipline sexy, but discipline's not sexy. And we do it because we post our little picture at the gym. Hey, getting it in. Tired, but I got it done. You can try to make discipline sexy, but it ain't sexy. It's grind. It's every day. You know what it is? Discipline's very boring. It's routine. It's going to bed early, getting up early. And doing it alone. Nobody cares that you're in the gym, but you're there. Nobody's giving you a like for making it, but you're there. That's what discipline is. That's what it is. It's being disciplined enough to be there for your kids. It takes discipline to be there for your kids. You have to say no to more money to be there for your kids. We don't know how to do that in today's culture. We think money trumps family. Hey, I know they're going to give you that much more money, but you got kids. He's got a game. You need to be there. I took all three of my kids through all the soccer games, the basketball game. Serge played basketball 1 year. I coached him, and that was the last year he played. It wasn't my coaching, though. He moved into baseball and played baseball, and I coached him. I got to coach Diego. Selena was a cheerleader. 1 year she played softball. I was there, and I'm busy. And there were times I got an invite to preach somewhere else. Sometimes I'd turn those things down because it takes discipline. And discipline is not sexy. Discipline is boring. Discipline is routine. Discipline's what it takes to be married. It ain't always about the date nights. Come on, somebody needs to hear this. It ain't always about the date nights. It's just about you being home. You being home and doing the most mundane thing. Sometimes the best thing I can do for my family is be home watching TV with them. We just kick it. And you know what that does? Brings them security. Gives them stability. I could easily look at that and go, oh, no, I could go out and do this. I could be doing that. No, they need me home, even if it's just sitting there watching a show. See, that's what discipline many times can be. It can be very mundane. It could be very routine. But that's what the good life consists of. You can't be out chasing your dreams. You have to pursue our dreams. Are you tracking with me today? You have a good life. You've just got to learn about the work, the pain, the battles, the discipline. See, what I'm describing to you is your life, and you've been wishing for another life. And what I'm here to tell you is, no, you have a good life. Just do the work. Endure the pain. Build the discipline. Fight the battles. Are you with me here? Let me give you a couple more here. I got to let you go. The fifth thing that your promised land or your good life consists of, dependence on God. In the good life, see, what people are chasing in the good life is a life where I don't need to depend on God. Right. If I just make enough money, we're good. If I just own my house, we're good. Because right now, you're waking up every day and going, God, provide. God, get me this business deal. God, do this for us. God, do that for us. See, but everybody's chasing the life where we don't need to do that. And I'm telling you, you're chasing the wrong thing. Because even in the promised land, you got to understand you're always going to be seeking God. Because now you have your own business and nobody's paying that mortgage on that business. Nobody's paying on that building, that $1 million lease on that building or whatever it might be. You are. It's going to take dependence on God. Dependence on God. You think, oh, you know, now I got a wife. Getting her was the easy part. I say it again. Getting a wife was the easy part. Keeping a wife takes work, takes pain. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? Getting a man was the easy part. All you had to do was say hi and smile at him. You had him just like that. Boom. But now you got to do the work. Now you got to do the pain. Guys, and this is where people throw away the good life because they don't understand what the good life consists of. This isn't a message to bring you down. It's a message to open you up to reality. To see that you have a good life. You just have to work your field. You just have to do the things that are on your plate to do, and you've got to depend on God. Number six, next thing you need to have to live the good life, you got to have an awesome inner voice. Your biggest enemy from the good life is not Satan, it's you. You're still trying to be in control. You still want to do things your way. You still have ideas. Hey, listen, follow God, man. Submit to God. Submit to the structures that God puts in your life. Submit to the people that God places in your life. Get rid of that ugly inner voice and make it an awesome voice. Some of you are beat down every day by the voice inside of your head that tells you you're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You need to get that voice out of your head. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? I've had that voice for 30, 40 years. Renew your mind. Get the Word of God in you until your thoughts sound like God's thoughts. Until you can look and have God thinking through you. You can do it. You got to get an awesome inner voice. Jesus put it like this in Luke 17:20. He said, the kingdom of God doesn't come by something you look at. It's not something coming to you. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. He said, the greatest thing you could do is not build the kingdom out here. Build it in here. Build it in here. If you could build the kingdom of God in your thinking and in your heart, you'll manifest the kingdom out here. But some of your thoughts, guys, we got garbage minds. We got failure minds. We got hood minds. We still think like we from the hood, even though you moved out and got a nice house. You still ain't acting right. You still acting like you in prison. You're not in prison no more. You don't have to have a spread tonight for dinner. You free, you free, you free, you free. But in here, that inner voice has got to change if you're going to enjoy the good life. And the last thing I got to tell you is this. If you're going to enjoy the good life, you got to have peace. Peace. Jesus said it like this in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Or I should say, the Word of God says it like this: and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Why does God give us that? Put that on the screen, guys. Why does God give us that? He gives us those things so that we can make it through. He gives us those things so that we can make it through life, the good life. Some of you, what I want to awaken you up to is this: you got a good life. Satan is lying to you. And he's saying, oh, you see the work, you see the pain, and you wish for another life. You wish for another wife. You wish for another husband. You wish for somebody else's kids. No, you got a good life. You got some good kids. You just got to do the work, put up with the pain. Come on, you got to trust God. You got to be disciplined. You got to fight the battles. You got to pursue peace. But the life you have, it's the good life if you'll do the work. The business you started, you didn't miss God. Some of you, you're ready to quit. No, no, this is the good life. Just do the work. Believe. Settle in. Commit yourself. Be disciplined. Get in the routine. And watch the good life take shape. Amen? Then when you hear that song, it's going to have a whole nother meaning to you. You're going to understand what it means to have a good life.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.